Finally, yesterday, I went to watch the football game for the first time. First, it was the parade, you know, for the first time. The game was really beautiful. The cheering, the energy, the passion, the crowd. No one was indifferent. And you could hear that echoing in M-I-Z. Everyone was caught up in that, in the moment. But now, brothers and sisters, let us imagine that we use that M-I-Z-Z-O-U to do this. Compete well for the faith. That is in the second reading, I guess. Please don't get offended. Let us try that. This part will say, compete well, and then you reply, for the faith. So let's go.
Compete well for the faith.
So let us imagine a whole crowd of people saying that. Wouldn't that stir our hearts in a new way? You know, Paul tells Timothy in today's second reading, that is not just a nice piece of advice, it is a challenge to live our life with the same energy, the same focus and passion that athletes give to their sport. In the first reading, we hear the prophet Amos. What he said should be able to shake us a little bit awake from complacency. He condemns the rich of his time. Not because they were rich. And nobody will condemn you because you are rich. Not simply for their wealth, but for living in comfort while ignoring corruption and suffering. They stretch out an ivory couches, feasting, singing, while their nation collapsed spiritually. Amos denounces both private and public sins, religious abuses and political injustice alike. Because the same God who demands worship in the temple also demands righteousness in every part of our life. There is no specialized vocation to holiness. All of us are called to love God with our whole heart. And that love must shape how we live, how we treat others, and how we handle our blessings. Sin is like a spiritual disease. Sin is never just private. It spread like a disease. It affects individuals and also the community. A society that tolerates corruption and selfishness becomes sick. Conversely, cultivating individual sanctity is one of the most effective ways to work for social justice. Holy men and women transform families and communities. And one of the best ways to raise saints is to build saintly societies where love, service, and truth flourish. Also, we see in the gospel that Jesus brings Amos' warning into focus. The rich man, dressed in purple, was blind to Lazarus at his gate. His sin was complacency, refusing to see and respond. When death came, there was a great reversal. The poor man was comforted, the rich man tormented. He competed well for comfort, but not for faith. Notice Abraham's reply when the rich man asks for someone to warn his brothers and sisters, probably. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. All the guidance they need had already been given. If we refuse to repent, it is not because God has not spoken. It is often because we do not want to change. Maybe sin makes us stubborn and selfish. But also beyond our resistance, there are forces of evil greater than us. Temptation, habit, even spiritual powers we cannot defeat alone. That is why we need God's grace. Without it, we fall. With it, even the weakest heart can be strengthened. Yet, grace does not erase our responsibility. If we refuse to listen to Moses, the prophets, or our own conscience, what I will call our inner prophet, then nothing will convince us, not even someone rising from the dead. And let us see, the one telling the story in the gospel is precisely the one who will rise and still be ignored, rejected, and disobeyed by many in many different ways. Because what is seen at his heart, like Father Mike Smith will say, it is saying to God, okay, God, I know what you want, but I don't care. I want to do it my own way. Let us compete well for the faith. To compete well for the faith is to enter the very dynamics of God, living with intensity of love, discipline of virtue, and passion for justice. It is running the race of holiness with the energy of an athlete, the energy we put in M-I-Z for a prize that does not fade, eternal life. It means resisting complacency, opening our eyes to the Lazaruses at our gates, cultivating personal holiness, and contributing to a society where sanctity can flourish. And we are not alone. Dear brothers and sisters, we run with Christ, who became poor so that we might become rich. We are strengthened by his grace, lifted by his mercy, and cheered on by the communion of saints who already reached the finish line. So, dear brothers and sisters, as Paul tells us, compete well for the faith. That does not mean withdrawing from the joys of life or the spirit of community we experience together, like when we cry out, M-I-Z. That chant is part of what brings this community alive. But each time we shout it, let us allow it to echo more deeply within us. Let's remember that beyond every game, there is a greater race being run, the race of faith, the pursuit of holiness, the striving for God's kingdom. So next time you hear the roar of M-I-Z, Z-O-U, let it not only your school spirit, your community spirit, let's also stir our soul. Let it awake in all of us the call to compete well for the faith.